Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Friday, January the 31st, we got to the end of the month. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, campaigners fighting to save two children's centres in Kent win another battle. Hear about the festivals happening this weekend to shake off those winter blues. And we look ahead to Gillingham's next game in League Two. But first, a Kent mum whose daughter was hit by a driver on a zebra crossing has spoken to the podcast about her anger that he's been spared jail. 11-year-old Dolly Giglia was knocked down on Tram Road in Folkestone in January last year. She suffered multiple fractures and a brain injury that's left her struggling to focus at school and at risk of early onset dementia. A 48-year-old man has since been given a 2-year suspended sentence and banned from driving for 3 years. Well, Dolly's mum, Annie, has been speaking to our reporter, Oliver Leonard.
Do you think that was the correct decision?
Don't know. Dolly doesn't. She thinks that he should go to jail. She's very adamant about that. And considering she's the one that lives with her head and how she feels, like, you know, she does. She has suffered, like, a worry about depression and stuff in her and things like that. And if she feels that way, then that's maybe that's how it should have gone, because she's the one living with it, isn't she, really? And like, again, I feel like I've always been too nice in my life. I've always given people too much grace. There is a part of me, when it happened, that felt bad for him because I thought, I'd never drive again. Do you know what I mean? That just sucks. But I'm irritated because I just think,
especially,
well,
especially hearing about his eyesight,
yeah,
do you think?
So you have eyes. You definitely tried to lie, like, play it down how fast you're going. And then I got a call from the police saying he was asking if he could change his plea to dangerous driving. And I thought that whole scenario was a bit weird, because I just thought, if someone's like, no, I don't agree with that plea, me and my solicitors want to change it to careless driving, not dangerous driving, then that should, in my mind, I'd be like, right, so your solicitors would talk to my solicitors and then my solicitors would ring me up. But that's not how it went. It was almost like, oh, if you say, yeah, we'll do it. And I'm like, no. Don't be putting that in my emotional hands. So that really wound me up, and I also just thought, I'll shut up. If you said guilty, like,
you
then maybe the
sympathy.
Sentence would have been fine, but you didn't. You tried to change it because you don't feel like you, even though you just admitted that you had eyes, you still don't feel like you drove dangerously. You think, no, it was just an accident. It was just me being careless, and I don't deserve this punishment. That's what it is. He feels sorry for himself.
So do you think if he knows his eyesight's bad, then
how is that not as bad as getting in the car intoxicated? Because when I was doing driving lessons, which, by the way, he's put a spanner in because now I'm too scared to drive. But when I was doing driving lessons, I have had two driving instructors. And the first one, he asked me to read a number plate. And I said to him, I was like, I have had my eyes tested recently and I have been told that I have 20/20 vision. And he's like, well, no, you don't, because you can't read this number plate from all the way down there. And I'm like, if you're being this on me, right, about one letter difference here, then how has he got away? Do you know what I mean? When you think about how strict they are on driving, look, have a responsibility to go, oh, hold on, do you know what? I can't do that right now. Like, you have that responsibility. You're a grown adult. You did your test. You got your license. And now you are being asked to go out there into the world and act like responsibly of yourself, and we all don't sometimes, and you almost killed someone because of it.
Thank you so much to Annie for chatting to us. Now, a court heard John Tutt admitted to police he had poor eyesight and at first hoped he'd hit a dog rather than a little girl. Tutt, who's from Wood Avenue in Folkestone, later pleaded guilty to causing serious injury by dangerous driving. He's also been ordered to do 250 hours of unpaid work, and he's under a curfew ordering him to stay inside his house between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. until September the 1st.
Kent Online News.
Police and a Coast Guard helicopter have been seen searching the Herne Bay seafront following reports of concerns for a person's welfare. Emergency services were called just after 7 last night and carried out a 3-hour operation. No one was found, and investigations are now being carried out into the original report. Meantime, police are investigating reports of laser pens being shone at Coast Guard helicopters in Kent. They've told us there have been 3 reports in the past 2 months. The first, when the aircraft was above Skinner Road in Lydd, the second in Dymchurch, and finally as the aircraft took off from Lydd Airport. Five members of a crime group have been sentenced after police uncovered a cocaine network in Thanet. Footage at Kent Online shows the moment the ringleader John Horn was arrested at his home on Highfield Road in Ramsgate.
Well, so officers were investigating drugs and the news of Kent carried out by an organised crime group. They suspect your involvement with a part of that group. So at the moment you are under arrest for conspiring to supply cocaine between June and October 2022. Right. So and you do have second name offence, you're mentioning one question, so it's like later on in court you do say maybe giving it in evidence.
Yeah.
That was all caught on police body worn camera. The 38-year-old's been locked up for 6.5 years. Three others were jailed and another got a suspended term. And two men have appeared in court accused of running an illegal waste warehouse in Margate. Nearby residents had complained about swarms of flies around the building on the Westwood Business Park, and investigations found thousands of bales of household and construction waste. The men from Lancashire and Devon received suspended jail terms. They've been ordered to pay more than £6,000.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, and campaigners fighting to save two children's centres in Kent say they've won another battle, but not the war just yet. There's been anger at the idea of closing Seashells in Sheerness and Millmead in Margate. Now, a scrutiny committee at the County Council has decided to put the decision to shut them on hold. Let's hear first from Sheppey independent councillor Mike Whiting, who's been supporting the bid by Seashells to stay open.
For the third time, to get unanimous support for both Seashells and for Millmead is unheard of, I think, here at KCC, to get that level of support. And the arguments that were put forward were so good and so clear that in the end of the day, all the members of the committee simply had to vote to take it to the full. So we've won this little battle. There's one more battle to take when we take it to full council.
You think you can win that one?
I would hope so. Based on the results of this, and as I say, we've won three unanimous votes on this now, because I think, and no one, as was pointed out in the debate, no one has actually stood up and spoken in favour of this proposal other than the members of the executive. So I think, yes, I think if we took it to full council, we'd certainly have a very good chance of getting it across the line.
And we can hear now from Councillor Barry Lewis, who represents Margate.
It's a fantastic day for the people of Millmead. It's a complete victory today. So we won another battle. This is the third battle we've won. Every time we've had a unanimous decision in favour of keeping the funding for the Millmead.
So a vote will now be taken by full council. How do you think they will vote?
Well, it'd be unusual if they reverse the decisions of three meetings. So I'm very confident, but time will tell. But I doubt whether we're going to get there.
So you think it's unlikely that the final battle will be won?
No, I think...
Oh, you think it will
be? I think it will be won. I think the Cabinet will make the right decision and tell Sue Chandler to reverse her decision.
It's claimed the decommissioning of Seashells and Millmead will save the council £425,000, and they say they need to save that cash to balance their budget. Well, Councillor Sue Chandler is the Cabinet member at Kent County Council responsible for integrated children's services. She is still standing by the decision and spoke to Gabriel Morris from the Local Democracy Reporting Service after this week's meeting.
I made that decision with the best evidence that I had and taking into consideration all the consultation responses and the petition and the representations that have been made.
Is that a decision you stand by?
At the moment, I will stand by that decision. However, there is clearly a process within Council which allows scrutiny and members to ask me to reconsider, and if it's going to full Council, that's exactly what we'll do. And of course, I accept that there's a process in the Council that asks me to do that, and you know, I will do that.
It's likely to call an extraordinary full Council meeting. Are you going to rethink this decision before it gets to that stage?
I just said, I'm going to look at all the additional evidence that has been asked for today and that will be provided to Council, and I will be speaking and responding at that council meeting.
We'll keep you updated on how this story develops. Meantime, bosses at a Kent charity that supports parents of disabled children have told us they're devastated after losing more than £500,000 of funding. KCC's withdrawn financial support for We Are Beams in Swanley after 17 years. The contract has been handed to a new provider.
Kent Online reports.
An intensive care nurse who asked a teenage boy to send inappropriate pictures and meet up at Bluewater has avoided prison. Rowley Flores was actually talking to an undercover police officer, and despite having cancelled the meeting, he was arrested. The 37-year-old, who lives in Victoria Road in North Acton in London, has been given a two-year suspended sentence and must complete rehab and do 280 hours of unpaid work. A GP surgery on Sheppey has been rated inadequate following an inspection by the health watchdog. The CQC say they found shortfalls in how Sheerness Health Centre managed safety risks and medicines when they visited in November. The practice is used by more than 7,000 people, and a caretaker provider has been brought in to run services there. Elsewhere, concerns have been raised after a report found what's been called a boys' club culture within the South East Coast Ambulance Service. Nikki has the details for the podcast.
The GMB union surveyed almost 900 staff members at CCAM to ask about their working environment. They say they were shocked by the results, which raised a number of concerns, including discrimination towards women, sexual harassment and bullying. More than a quarter of people say they'd been bullied while at work. The union are now calling for an independent investigation. However, a close source to CCAM has told KMFM they're questioning the credibility of the research, and the results of a more recent NHS staff survey are expected to show there have already been improvements across the board.
And a mum's thanked doctors who saved the life of her baby daughter after she became unresponsive at their home on Romney Marsh. Tests have revealed six-week-old Autumn had contracted RSV, a respiratory illness which can be extremely serious for babies. She's now recovering at home, and we've got details of the symptoms at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A man's suffered a broken arm and cut to his face after being attacked while walking his dogs in Medway. It happened on Brompton High Street last month after the victim got involved in a row with two men in a white van. One suspect's been spoken to, and police want to trace another dog walker who tried to intervene. Off-road bikers have caused damage at a country park near Gravesend. Turf has been carved up in the meadow, which is near to the children's play area at Shaun Woods. It comes despite security at the site being stepped up with extra CCTV. It's been confirmed a new leisure hub is going to be built in Tunbridge, close to the existing Angel Centre. The council's released the details as they also launch a survey asking what should happen to the rest of the surrounding area to the east of the High Street. Options include homes, shops, a town square and improved access routes. Now at Kent Online today, you can see some incredible pictures from the day Kent suffered severe flooding. A huge tidal surge hit Whitstable, Herne Bay, Sheppey and Faversham on this day back in 1953. Incredibly, no one was killed, but the towns were left under feet of water, and it caused the equivalent of £100 million worth of damage. And finally, two festivals are happening in Kent this weekend to help us all shake off those winter blues. Community arts organisation Cohesion Plus is putting on Lunar New Year celebrations in Maidstone Town Centre tomorrow. It's followed by a magical winter festival in Ebbsfleet's Platinum Jubilee Park. Let's get all the details from Govinda Sander, who's from Cohesion Plus.
So we're really pleased that we're again able to produce the Maidstone Lunar New Year celebrations in Maidstone Town Centre between 12 and 2.30. We're working in partnership with Maidstone Cultural Group, a local community organisation, and Maidstone Borough Council. And we've got a really exciting lineup of entertainment. And what's going to happen is at 12 o'clock, you know, we'd urge many people as possible to get there for 12 o'clock when we start in Jubilee Square. We'll be waking up to Chinese lions. There's a special ceremony of dotting the eyes of the lions just to wake them up. And then they will, once they're hopefully awake, they will be doing some kind of energetic and high energy kind of performances around Jubilee Square and in Maidstone Town Centre. We've also got a Chinese traditional music group who will be doing traditional kind of music, which you would kind of find in the tea houses of Shanghai, for example. And we've also got some traditional Chinese inspired cultural dance performances taking place. And we'll also be giving out fortune cookies. So really between 12 and 2.30, Maidstone Town Centre, Jubilee Square is the place to be. If you want to celebrate Lunar New Year with us.
That sounds amazing. And the sort of the performers and the cultural events that you've got appearing during the festival, are they locally based? Are they Kent groups?
So it's a combination of local community-based groups and some groups that are coming in from London. But what we're really pleased about is that the way the Lunar New Year celebrations have developed in Maidstone, they're not just a celebration for the communities of Maidstone. We tend to find people from around Kent come along and, you know, join in the festivities. So you know, we're really looking forward to Saturday, fingers crossed as ever, on the weather. But hopefully, you know, with the artistic lineup we've got, we're really looking forward to having a fantastic day.
Later on in the same day, we've got the Magical Winter Festival also happening. What can you tell me about this one?
So Saturday's a very busy day for us. So on Saturday between 4 and 8 in Ebbsfleet, the Garden City in North Kent, we've got the Magical Winter Festival taking place. And again, this has been running for about 4 years now. And we all know the period after Christmas can be quite tough. And this is a way of kind of shining the light and bringing light to the communities of Ebbsfleet. So on the Castle Hill development, Platinum Jubilee Park, between 4 and 8, we'll have the Magical Winter Festival. And we've got some, not only just a lot of amazing light installations. And again, some of those have been made by a local school. So four local schools have been involved in helping create some of these installations. But we've also got some light themed acts. So from still illuminated stilt walkers to fire dancers to samba and Punjabi doll drummers, who are all going to be lit up, to iconic, which I think is really iconic, a dragon, which is going to be lit up and there'll be pyro. So, you know, there's a lot for the community to come and see, and there's also going to be a wide array of food as well. So, you know, the Magical Winter Festival in Ebbsfleet is something we're really looking forward to producing and delivering.
And to get people out during the winter as well, is that right? Give them a little bit of a boost as we try and push on into spring.
I think events like the Ebbsfleet Winter Festival are a great way of bringing communities together and just giving that kind of boost in that period after Christmas, to have those lights, to have those high energetic performances, to have a wide array of food. You know, it's a great way for people to come out. And the festival is free. So I would urge anyone, not just in Ebbsfleet, but in kind of surrounding areas, do come and join us in Platinum Jubilee Park, and you will be amazed by what we've got on. But wrap up more, of course.
Kent Online Sports.
We're going to start off with football, and promotion chasing Notts County are the visitors to take on Gillingham this weekend. The home side have gone 7 games without a win and have dropped to 17th in League 2. Tomorrow's opponents are up in 3rd. Well, Jules defender Sam Gale has been chatting ahead of the game.
Played on Tuesday night, of course. We drew 1-1 with Grimsby. I know you'd be gutsy we didn't get all 3 points, but just give us your verdicts on the overall display.
Yeah, overall I thought it was a really strong performance. I think there was a lot to build on. Obviously we're gutted we didn't get the 3 points. I thought we actually dealt with the conditions really well. The wind was swirling up there, it was raining, pitch was very heavy, bobbly. I think first half we soaked up a bit of pressure, the wind was against us, but never really came under too much threat of conceding, and we carried a bit of threat on the counter attack. Then obviously we grabbed our goal, it's a slice of luck, but I thought we worked hard to get it. And then second half was really disappointing, we controlled the whole game really. We felt comfortable. I don't think they even got in our box. So it's just really disappointing that we couldn't quite get over the line, but it's definitely something to build on.
Did you enjoy the physical battle? Definitely. I suppose at both AFC Wimbledon and on Tuesday night.
Definitely. I thrive off that. Listen, I've done 3 years in non-league, 3 different loans. I've kind of been well prepared for those sorts of battles, and I think the main difference is these lads who I'm playing against now in League 2, they mix it. They can do the physical side, but they can play as well. But I enjoyed it. The conditions made for a really tough physical game. And yeah, thrived off it, really.
Notts County on Saturday. It's the early kick-off. They're going really well, Notts County. We'll probably be in the promotional mix come the end of the season. What kind of battle are you expecting from them? They've got a couple of notable forwards we need to keep our eye on.
Yeah, I'm expecting them to be a good footballing team. I know they've got a reputation for that over the last couple of years. They've got some big names, but so do we. Their reputation, their expectation is to get promoted, but we expect to be up there come the end of the season. Still, I think we can get there. And I think a performance Saturday will really kick that on.
It's a slightly earlier kickoff at Priestfield tomorrow. They get going at 12:30. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online, and we'll have reaction to the result on our sister radio station KMFM in bulletins on Sunday morning. Rugby, and Kent's Alex Mitchell's in the England side for their opener in the Six Nations this weekend. He's recovered from a knee injury in time for the match against Ireland in Dublin. Kickoff tomorrow is at 4:45. And finally, in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos will be hoping to continue their good run of form this weekend. They secured back-to-back victories in South Division 1 last time out. The Mos host Cardiff Fire at the ice rink in Gillingham tomorrow before travelling to take on Milton Keynes Thunder on Sunday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.